Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I've worked the term yowling into my vocabulary now, in large part because I was doing a Google search about cats howling extremely loudly at night. And it's actually called yowling. There's a special term for it. And she does sound like she's making a yow sound. It is not at all like meowing. Meowing is different. I know when she's hungry, when she wants attention, when there's a door closed and she wants to get out or she wants to come in. Although Sugar's figured out how to open doors on her own. But at night sometimes it's this extraordinarily loud, seemingly out of nowhere, yowling. I mean, it's so loud. And I was doing a Google search. Actually, it might not have been Google. I was doing a search on what makes cats yowl like this at night, especially at night after dark when all the lights are out and the house is quiet. And one of the reasons is because they, in many cases, they have cognitive decline, which doesn't surprise me. It sounds to me like she doesn't remember that we're in the house. She can't figure out where she is or what's going on. It's just such a different sound than I've heard from her ever. And it's gotten progressively more frequent over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. We tried some calming chews or calming treats, I should say, that have a combination of, I think it's melatonin and lavender and a little bit of CBD. They're all natural. They worked for like 3 weeks and she was quiet. She was completely silent at night. She slept. We would give her the treats right before we went to bed or before I left the house for work. And she was really good for about 3 weeks and then it started again. And so the yowling is it's a sign of cognitive decline or it's a sign of she's going deaf. So it's louder because she can't hear herself. So she, you know, naturally people talk louder. It's funny sometimes in the business, we're wearing headphones. You don't even have to be in the business, but you're wearing headphones and the music or the audio is loud in your ears. And so you think that you have to talk louder to talk over it. There may be that. And then the other reason is thyroid issues, which I did take her to the vet. They've got her on steroids now for thyroid, but that means that she's hungry all the time because it's prednisone. So now she's howling at me to eat, howling at me to get out of a room or into a room, howling at me because there's a new dog, and then yowling overnight. And I feel so bad. Every single morning when I get home from work, one of the first questions I ask my husband is, "Did you hear the cat overnight?" And he calls it serenading. So he calls her El Gato Cantando, the singing cat. And I feel terrible because it's my cat. He never wanted a cat, but she's almost 17 years old. So clearly there's some health issues there. So yowling, a new word that I've incorporated into my vocabulary. One that makes me cringe a little bit because I'm not kidding, Pete. It is so loud. At times it sounds like a baby crying. That's how distinct and loud it is.
You know, I had a cat a while ago, so when I hear some of these sounds that you're saying, it brings back memories of it, and then I think of my daughter when she cries, and I'm like, there's some similarities, like yes. You just said, there are similarities to baby crying and the
wailing. Cat, it's like a wailing.
It's like wah.
Yes,
that and type of thing.
Which is why yowling seems like the best way to
That's
describe it.
Perfect word.
Right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and this portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. I think I go back and forth. Oh, well, it's a conversation starter by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your new home at Amazon. Wow. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. So you can buy a car online these days. Would you do that? Would you buy a car online without ever seeing it? test driving it, looking over the specs, anything like that?
If it was from the dealer that I've been using for years.
Okay, so if it was from someone you trusted.
Yes, I would do it because I know where he's going. I've used the same car and the same dealer. I lease every 2 years. So
you lease, okay.
But it's the same guy. I've been using the same company. And if they offered it online and I could get it online, I would do it that way. But not like cold. I wouldn't go to another car company and pick a car from that group. I would need to really be entrenched in what the car is.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it, even if it was someone I trusted, because maybe he or she has a different idea about what would make a quality car. I bought Princess Leia in 2017. I don't buy cars new. I generally buy them either program cars or they were leased cars and now they're back to the dealership. So she had 15,000 miles on her at the time. I got her in 2017. She was in great shape. Clear that the person barely drove her, really didn't spend much time driving the car, maybe to and from the train station, maybe just around the neighborhood. And so when I got her, she was in terrific shape and had very little mileage on her. So since 2017, summer of 2017, not even 8 years now, I have put 165,000 miles on her. Now, keep in mind, that's during the pandemic when so many of us drove a far fewer miles, but I can easily put 25,000 miles on a car a year. And since we just drove her back, we drove her to Texas and back. It was, I think, the third time I've taken her to Texas. She had an extra 3,500 miles on her. But with maintenance, she's terrific. So in the last 6 months, I've had to replace, obviously, oil changes and various, like, I think I bought two tires, various maintenance items. But I've also had to replace the windshield because you drive long enough and there's going to be a rock that hits your windshield from a semi in front of you. So I had to replace the windshield because it started to what's it called? Spider? No.
A splinter.
It started to break and crack and splinter. Then had to replace the battery, but that's okay. Considering how frigid it is outside now, it's a good thing the battery got replaced in Texas. New wheel bearings because she started to sound like a twin engine Cessna while we were in Texas. But got that done with a friend of my husband's. And then as we were leaving Bristol, Virginia on the final morning of our drive, very cold. It was snowy. We discovered that the tire light was on, and so we have one tire that tends to go really low when it's cold. Every one of these things happened in a place where we could get them fixed or where they were far less intrusive than had we been driving down to Texas or on Christmas Eve, we drove 2.5 hours from his mom's to my mom's in a raging thunderstorm. Could you imagine if the battery had died then? Right? Or the tire was going down then, it would have been far more challenging and frustrating to deal with. And so we're really grateful that all these things happened when we were in a safe place and could fix them. But yeah, like when it comes to vehicles, I think there's no way, because I use my vehicle so much, there's no way that I would purchase one online or like a house. Remember people were looking at houses during the pandemic online? They were taking virtual tours. No way. Over video and photo of a house can be framed or can look so different than when you're actually in it and you can see the paint or the nuts and bolts or just the feel of the place. It happens all the time with Airbnb, for instance. You look at photos online and then you get to the place. This is why I always look at reviews extensively. You get to the place and it can be a dump, even though they make it look really enticing online.
That's another thing. I would not do it ideally. Mm-mm. But if I was building a new house and I knew dimensions and I had a little more perspective on like how high things are, if you just tell me a number, then I would do it online. But aside from that, no. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Well, having just built a room on the back of our house with contractors who did not pay attention to details, I would no longer do that either. No way. It needs to be personal inspection because there are details that they did not take care of or that they did in a shoddy manner. And if it weren't for the fact that we could see it, we would never have known. Like, for instance, when they first put the foundation in, it wasn't level with our kitchen. I mean, like, so the door was taken off the back of our kitchen, and the new room was put there, and you walked down, and they initially put a piece of tile that sloped down, and we were incredulous. Are you kidding me? The room needs to be level with the rest of the house. Oh, well, we built it based on the foundation. Well, clearly you didn't, because it's an inch lower. So they had to fix that. Then I think I was telling you before, the room is in square. And they knew the room wasn't square when they did it, because the contractor admitted that to my husband. And then the frame for the windows, just eye test, you could see it wasn't level. Oh. So I would no longer trust anyone to do anything now that I can't see, because they made it seem like it was perfect and everything is great and your room is all done. And then we could clearly see the window frames don't match. No way.
You know what? You're right.
I convinced you.
No, not a house. Yeah. And just because I'm thinking about it now, the 50 houses we looked at before we bought one.
50. Oh my gosh.
That's a low number, too.
Did that make you want to poke a fork in your eye?
We were the last house we looked at. Luckily, it was like far above everything else we looked at. If we didn't get a house then, that was it. We were gonna go back into an apartment for a year.
When
and
did you move?
Out. Moved right after the pandemic.
Oh, so I moved. Yeah, the story is pretty incredible. Now I couldn't afford to buy a home in my neighborhood because the homes have appreciated $200,000 and $300,000 just by sitting there, because the inventory is so low right now because so few people are moving. I think it's the case in a lot of big cities because people can't afford it. You give up the mortgage rate or the interest rate that you have right now and you get into a new place. And you're talking about 5 or 6 percentage points higher, if not more than that. But also, like, the prices have escalated since the pandemic. So I'm impressed that you found something that you could afford. You may make a lot more money than I do, but I couldn't now. I mean, we wouldn't be living in New Jersey if it weren't for the fact that I bought a house in May of the pandemic, which... Yeah, moving in the middle of a pandemic is as much fun as it sounds. I couldn't afford anything now. I'd be out. I'd be SOL.
Very lucky. We're very lucky. And like now, I have a great interest rate and a great cost. The cost of my house is probably $200,000 more.
Yeah.
Ideally, I would love to go and take that and go buy the dream house. But you can't. Because it's just such a tight market.
Well, it's a seller's market, yes. Right? So you have to wait until the market stabilizes. And interest rates are coming down a smidge, but that doesn't change the inventory. Right now, people are holding on to their houses and they're not leaving. They're not moving. In many cases, fewer Americans are, you know, moving. And also, it's really challenging to rent. In fact, one of the reasons I was determined to buy is because my rent was escalating so much that I was actually going to pay about the same mortgage versus rent. So I know it's really tough right now to even think about moving. So I'm so thankful for the house and the car until the engine just goes kaput. My goal is 250,000 miles, which I'm only 70,000 out, but I did have a car, Saturn Ion. When I first moved to the New York City area, she had 300,000 miles on her. And if Princess Leia is still running, she's got dings and nicks and bruises because, you know, in New York, people sideswipe you when you're parked and they don't say anything. Uh-huh. So I'll come out of the building and there'll be a new swipe on the side of my car. And no one ever says anything when they run into your vehicle.
Or a garbage can through your windshield.
That happened to you? A garbage can? What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
That's the infamous story where Paul Rudd walked by my car.
Right. That part I remember, but I didn't know. I knew that something had happened to your car, but I didn't know it was a garbage can through the windshield.
Yes,
this is parked in front of our building on a main road here in Lower Manhattan.
It was parked on one of the side streets, but like right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call from... Sean Marash, who used to be on the network, saying that, hey, you might want to come check your car out. It's like someone fell from the sky. It came from a vagrant.
So someone threw it at your car?
Yes.
Did you ever see a video of it?
No, but there was somebody that was a witness near there.
Oh, my gosh.
That saw the person lurking and creating problems.
Oh my gosh. So- So I hope your insurance covered someone throwing through a trash can, a trash can through your windshield.
That's the good part about a lease. You have to have certain requirements on the insurance.
Gotcha.
Not that it wouldn't if I bought the car, but yeah, it was all covered.
My goodness. That's quite the story. And I thought getting sideswiped and, you know, I once had a guy on a scooter slam right into the side of my car, messed up my windshield on the passenger, not my windshield, sorry, my rearview mirror on the passenger side, and just bounced off, fell off his scooter, got up, went the wrong way down a one-way street just to get away from me. Like, so I've had all kinds of things run into me, but I've not had a trash can thrown through my windshield.
I've had cars back into me.
Of course.
T-bone back into me at where I was in a Saturn, luckily, because if I wasn't in a Saturn, I probably would have been very injured.
My craziest story about driving a vehicle in New York City is one day, this is not quite like your trash can story, but one night, I was getting ready to come in the building. I was probably getting myself together, making sure I had my coffee, my chapstick, blah, blah, whatever. Sitting in my car for a second, and all of a sudden, a young man, there's a group of men, I can hear them, they're probably out partying, and one of them takes a flying leap and thinks he's Bo Duke and slides across the hood of my car while I'm sitting in it.
Oh, no.
While I'm sitting in it. He just slides like he's Shohei Ohtani sliding in a second, right across the hood of my car. I was so mad. And then they're laughing and carrying on. I don't think they realized I was in the vehicle till I opened up the car. And I was like, what are you doing? And I followed them down the street. Now, these days, probably not advisable because you never know what kind of weapon someone's carrying. Uh-huh. But I was so incensed that the dude just took a flying leap. But you never know. That's what people are doing outside. So I remember when Bart Scott worked here and he would do shows on the network. A former NFL linebacker, and he would talk about his brand new, I think he was leasing at the time, a Ferrari, I could be wrong, had a brand new car, and he'd park out front. Are you freaking kidding me? You are asking for trouble if you park a really expensive vehicle in Manhattan and you're not sitting on it the whole time. There's no way. I would never buy a nice car and drive it in this city or really any other big city because you're just asking for trouble.
If I lived in the city, I'd never buy a car.
Oh, well, I can't live without a car. I've got so many road trips I need to take. I can't live without a car.
So you buy cars that I give up, basically.
Yep, I buy cars that are 2 or 3 years old with between 5 and 20,000 miles on them, and I make sure they're good quality cars as much as I can tell, and I drive them until they die or until, you know, too much money is required to keep it running. But I've had great success. My Saturn Ion had 306,000 miles on it. Then I used my mom's. She had an old Infiniti. It was like 20 years old when I got it. Maybe 18, but she'd put so few miles on it that she gave it to me, and I put a ton of miles on it before it needed too much work. And then I bought the car I have now, my Subaru, and that was in 2017. And she's going strong, 180K, and we're infinity and beyond. That's what we're doing.
And last I checked with the dealer I work with, they are in need of cars to sell like that.
Yeah.
So
I do not want a car payment. So I will not lease because I don't want a car payment. And so my big goal always in buying a vehicle is to pay it off and then enjoy as many years as possible without a car payment. And that's the situation I'm in with Princess Leia. I paid her off in 22, I believe, with a tax refund that I got. And so now we're 2 years in, almost three, no car payment. And that is huge, huge.
My wife is the same. She wants the same thing. She's up for a new car now. She doesn't want a payment, but it's going to happen.
Oh, well, maybe at some point you can find one that is worth purchasing. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us as we're morphing into Thursday, January 9th. Do you know what that means? It means we're 1 month from the Super Bowl. Coaching cycle's been the big story, of course, but we just stumbled across Rob Gronkowski being the latest to ream the Patriots, essentially, for their treatment of Jerod Mayo. And also a little bit of quarterback news that doesn't have to do with those QBs that are in the playoffs, like Brock Purdy. What's his future? It's good stuff always, but man, I'm ready to get to games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brock is the leader of our team. I've loved these 3 years with Brock. I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. So like, Brock's been a stud. He's a guy I got a lot of confidence in, and just as a human. But it starts with what he's done on the field these last 2.5 years, and we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with him. We just almost did, and I know he's capable of getting the Niners Super Bowl in the future.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Strong praise from one Kyle Shanahan, who essentially is hitching his wagon to the star of Brock Purdy, who is in line for a contract extension. Maybe he's not considered a high-profile elite quarterback, but the Niners want no one else. And this is the first time that Brock Purdy will be able to reap the benefits of what he's done with the Niners to this point. Remember, as the last draft pick that was taken in his draft, I don't want to use the term anymore because he's the opposite of you know what. Purdy has not been paid a whole lot. I mean, he's playing for peanuts compared to what starting quarterbacks make in the NFL. So the fact that Shanahan is not only strongly validating Brock Purdy, but raves about him and says, I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. He's been a stud. He's a guy I've got a lot of confidence in. That's about as strong as a validation as you can get. And remember, it's Kyle Shanahan who's in charge of personnel. So he and John Lynch work together. No doubt the contract has to be hammered out, but it's Shanahan who has final say over the roster. Though you can hear it too with Lynch. He's in step and on board with Purdy.
I think what we know about Brock is that he's our guy. We've got, you know, we have interest in Brock being around here for a long, long time. He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games, you know, had a little tougher task as we all did this year with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the year. We just never could string games where we were all together. And through that, he continued to lead. He continued to play at a high level. So we have every interest in him being around. You know, the way this thing goes, these press conferences are necessary, but always kind of silly because Kyle's coaching. We spend time together all the time, and there's big issues that affect the team. But he's just getting off coaching. He's had his door shut for 2 days doing exit interviews. You know, we were just up, but we were talking about our players. We'll have some time here in the coming weeks to sit together and put our whole plan together. That's obviously a priority, that position. And, you know, we'll give it that attention.
So John Lynch, same thing, a little more about the process and what the timing could be. They've been working on exit interviews in the Bay Area and not yet contracts, but it is a top priority. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The most expensive QB in the NFL is Dak Prescott, highest paid when it comes to average annual value. And you may remember, this is right before the season kicked off. Remember, right before the Cowboys beat the Browns in Cleveland. In week one, $60 million per season. Now, people are asking, so Purdy spoke to the media on Monday. People are asking him and his value and about this contract, and his answer is kind of interesting. He was asked whether getting more than Prescott's record-setting contract is a priority. And he says, not really sure. What does that mean exactly? It's just his way of not talking about it.
Reflecting.
Yeah. He did say on Monday that he wants to get a contract done as quickly as possible. He doesn't want to miss any of the Niners OTAs that start in the spring. So yeah, he says, more than anything for me, I want to be able to handle business the right way and do it in a respectable manner and get back to my team as fast as I can to get going. And remember, he was a Pro Bowler in 23, and he was actually part of the MVP voting in 23. He was in the top four, but the numbers dipped in 24. And a lot of that, of course, you can attribute to Christian McCaffrey being out the vast majority of the season. Brandon Ayuk also missed a big portion of the season because of his knee injury. No left tackle in Trent Williams. George Kittle and Debo Samuel were on and off the field. But to a man, all of these guys will tell you that Purdy is the guy, especially George. He goes on and on about Purdy in the huddle and what a great quarterback he is. So there isn't a person on that roster that would tell you Purdy isn't the guy for the job. He ended up 10th in passing yards, 3rd in yards per attempt in his 15 games. But there were some struggles, too. The bad weather games, I kind of feel like everybody has to deal with them, so I'm not sure if that's always a factor. But he and the Niners really scuffled this year when they were trailing or when they needed to hold off an opponent in tight situations. The number of times they lost inside their own division to teams that would either rally or they couldn't protect a late lead or they couldn't come back themselves. And so, yeah, the confidence that Kyle and John are putting in Brock Purdy is huge. And let's be fair, he's cheap right now because of the fact that he was drafted last. It was a 4-year rookie deal that paid him under $1 million per year. This is why, as a side note, NFL teams are more than happy to look in the draft for their next QB. If they're not completely satisfied or feel like they've got a veteran who can help them win, they will move on more quickly. Because Dak Prescott, and he didn't even play all season, $60 million this year. Brock Purdy, not even $1 million on average over the first 3 years of his rookie deal. Now, coming up in year 4, so he's got 1 year left. So a lot of times you hear about the 5-year deals for rookies. That's only first round draft picks. Teams have an option to add a 5th year when they're first rounders. It doesn't apply to the last guy selected in the draft. So Purdy has 1 year left on his deal, his rookie deal. And get this, this is comical. Brock Purdy will count $1.119 million against the cap in 2025. Now, of course, they are expecting to pay him and have a contract done before the season would kick off, but that is funny. You've got guys that are counting $80+ million against the cap when you factor in signing bonuses and the timing of the deals, and he's going to count... Well, right now, his deal will count $1.119 million against the cap. That doesn't even seem right. It's like a decimal point has been moved. But even if you say $11.19 million, it's still way, way, way cheaper than the going rate for a winning quarterback. So, that's goofy. I don't know how much Brock Purdy will end up signing for, but I do believe the Niners are serious. They've given no indication since they got Brock Purdy. And remember what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had gone through before that. They came in at the end of, well, it was the end of the Colin Kaepernick era, if you will. And I remember there were a couple, was it Blaine Gabbert who was also on that roster?
That sounds right.
I'm gonna look real quick just because it's interesting. I had said last year, if they could get through one season with a single quarterback, it would be a step up. And they obviously ended up in the Super Bowl going back a couple years. Weren't able to replicate that this year in large part because of their injuries. But they had other issues too. It's just that if you think about the revolving door before Brock Purdy took over, he brings stability in a way they just haven't had. Okay, here we go. Going back to 2016, I believe was the, oh yeah, because remember in 2000, what was after the 15 season? Early in 2016, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator with the Falcons when they blew that lead in the Super Bowl. So he then leaves with John Lynch and takes the job in the Bay Area. So their first season as the coach and GM were the 2016 season. And we nailed it, Pete. Colin Kaepernick and Blaine Gabbert. Those were the two quarterbacks that season for the Niners.
We're missing one.
We're missing one from 16?
In 16,
and I
totally forgot about this guy.
Okay, so the starts were made by Colin and Blaine. Who else played for them?
Not quarterback, coach.
We're missing one.
We're missing a coach in between that was in 2016. Chip Kelly.
Oh my gosh.
One season.
Okay, so
15 was Tom Sula.
Oh my gosh, he was the sacrificial lamb after Jim Harbaugh was fired. Tom Sula was promoted.
16 was Kelly.
Okay, 16 was Kelly.
17 was Shanahan then in that group.
All right, so I was off a year with the Super Bowl. Okay, so 16 season, 17 Super Bowl.
I knew there was someone in the middle of that whole thing.
So in 17 then, it was Brian Hoyer, C.J. Beathard, Jimmy Garoppolo. Wait a minute, though. I swear he was in when Colin Kaepernick was there. I swear.
I think that was after that.
Okay. All right. I could be wrong. So going back to 16, Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert. 17, Brian Hoyer, C.J. Beathard, Jimmy Garoppolo. 2018, remember they traded for Garoppolo late that season with the Patriots. 2018, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, Jimmy Garoppolo. 19, finally, Garoppolo lasted the entire season. In 20, Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, and once again, C.J. Beathard. 21, Garoppolo started the 15 games. Remember, Trey Lance was the starter, got injured right away. So Jimmy Garoppolo finished the rest of the year. They went to the, did they go to the Super Bowl that year in 21? Then 22 was Garoppolo, Purdy, and Lance. 23, Purdy, and then Darnold just started one game. But last year was stability, finally, at that quarterback position. This year, Purdy, Brandon Allen, Josh Dobbs, but that isn't really about Purdy. So they've got their guy, and they want to keep that stability there. And I believe them when they say that they have hitched their wagon to his star. All right, let's see. Coming up, Rob Gronkowski, the latest Patriot to criticize their move with Jerod Mayo. Max Crosby weighs in on the Raiders' future. And then thinking, too, ahead to the playoffs, please, can we? Please, can we? A little bit of injury update when it comes to the Packers, as well as one Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Pauline, what would it take? That's reportedly what Tom Brady is asking Bill Belichick. Brady leading the charge to find the Raiders' next head coach, looking to see if Belichick would leave North Carolina before ever coaching a game there. Now, Belichick has a $10 million buyout, although reports say Belichick no plans to leave the Tar Heels at this time. Wildfires still wreaking havoc in California. The NFL putting together a contingency plan for the Rams-Vikings playoff game Monday night, as the game would move to Arizona if it's deemed necessary. Eagles happy to see Jalen Hurts return to practice on a limited basis, coming back from the concussion. Jordan Mailata thrilled with what he saw from his signal caller.
He looked sharp, I'll be honest. Looked really sharp. Brought a lot of energy. He's out there in short sleeves. I've been in his position before with concussion, and when you miss time, you try and find ways to get back as fast as you can. But you know, I think he did a great job of dealing with that and coming back as sharp as he did today, and I thought he had a phenomenal practice.
Flip side, Jordan Love also practiced on a limited basis for Green Bay as he's trying to battle through an elbow injury. Two hottest teams in the NBA hooking up, with the Cavs able to take control.
On the right side, Lou Dort works into the paint, got it down low to Hartenstein. Hartenstein, Allen blocked the shot! Jared Allen blocked the shot of Hartenstein. Here comes Garland, right quarter Mitchell. Three ball, bullseye!
Just 11 points for Donovan Mitchell, but a big one there. Jared Allen, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Cavs outscored the Thunder 129-122, making it 11 straight wins, a putting to end the Thunder's 15-game win streak. Call courtesy of the Cavs Radio Network. Rest of scores, Knicks pound the Raptors 112-98. Nuggets overwhelm the Clippers 126-103. Sixers top the Wizards 109-103. Bucks roll the Spurs 121-105. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 25 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. Pistons dominate the Nets 113-98. Blazers too much for the Pelicans 119-100. And the Pacers finished off the Bulls 129-113. College hoops, Villanova shocked UConn 68-66. Alabama rolled South Carolina 88-68. Texas A&M upended Oklahoma 80-78. Kansas rocked Arizona State 74-55. And Illinois dismissed Penn State 91-52. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
A-Law Radio Online, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You know, a doubleheader coming up Saturday in the NFL, followed by a tripleheader on Sunday, and then a game on Monday night. Though right now, it is set for L.A. in SoFi Stadium, with the Rams hosting the Vikings. The wildfires, though, that continue to rage, with at least 27,000 acres that have been burned in California, and the number continues to grow. There's 1.5 million people, at least, without power, and there are 100,000 who've been forced to evacuate. The NFL is monitoring the situation, and I can imagine that if the fire is still not contained by the weekend, they would want to move the game. It's not only about the safety and the air quality at SoFi Stadium, which of course is important. It's also about just the message that it sends. Your city is burning and we're going to celebrate a football game, a playoff game here. I don't know. We'll see what the NFL decides to do. But right now the contingency plan is to move that game to Arizona and Glendale, where the Cardinals play. 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us as we round into a Thursday morning, January 9th. Now, there's been a lot of criticism of the Patriots and how they handled Jerod Mayo. Plenty of people who are glad they made the move, right? So Patriots Nation was really unhappy. We know that Bob Kraft mentioned the fans and how disgruntled they were with the way the team performed, especially over the final month of the season. And so I do recognize that it's kind of a split opinion, if you will. But what we're hearing from some who used to be Patriots, like Logan Ryan, who played with Jerod Mayo, is that if this is not about Mike Vrabel, then it makes no sense. You gave him a roster with which he cannot compete, and then you expect him to put together a winning product, and you give him so little time to develop as a rookie head coach, but you expect results that are almost impossible. That's part of what's come out of the Patriots fraternity, if you will, but not the only one, right? So Rob Gronkowski, every now and then, we'll do interviews with Fox News and Fox News Digital. And what I saw from him is that he's become the latest now to kind of criticize the Patriots for this handling of their Jerod Mayo situation. Now, we tried to find it on Fox News Digital, haven't been able to do it. And by the way, he's also making predictions about Bill Belichick and Bill Belichick's career. Haven't been able to find the audio, but what he told Fox News Digital is just the handling of it was botched, right? The handling of it was, it was unlike what he has known about this organization, about Bob Kraft, kind of similar to what we heard from Logan Ryan. So I hate that this is... This has been what's come out of the Jerod Mayo move, but you have to know that Bob Kraft was willing to take all of this flack. He was holding himself accountable. He said he feels terrible. He said that he put Jerod in this position, and he's willing to bite the bullet. And that makes sense, like Logan is saying, if you have your eye on a particular coach. But there are other teams out there that are interviewing Mike Vrabel. In fact, we talked to Hondo Carpenter from the Raiders. He's an insider with SI earlier in the show, and he said the Raiders are not giving up on Mike Vrabel. And think about it. Tom Brady is a very key part of their hiring process. So here are some of the quotes from Rob Gronkowski. He was talking about Bill Belichick. He actually said that he thinks that Belichick will end up back in the NFL, and Gronk says he still believes that's the goal for Bill Belichick, and he doesn't believe that Bill will retire as a Tar Heel. But then he went on to say about the Patriots, he actually was talking about how he needs to grab his Bounty paper towel because it's messy over there right now. That was the analogy that he used. I just used the Bounty paper towels with a couple wipes, man. I'll probably be the head coach right after that. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. He says, we got to get to the part about Jerod Mayo. I was surprised to hear about Jerod getting fired. I felt like it was kind of unfair to him because he took a team over where it was going to need some time to build and develop to get back to the winning ways. The roster was depleted. Jerod was a rookie head coach. I felt like he needed another year to be able to really judge him based on how he would develop and grow after that first season. He called it ugly, essentially, the whole process being ugly for the Patriots. So, yeah, it's kind of a tough time. to right now to understand what the Pats are doing and where they go from here. But I suspect that if they could get Mike Vrabel, which seems to be the goal, as our friend Karen Garigian put it, a match made in heaven, right? If that's what Mike decides, and he is interviewing today with the Patriots, according to reports, then some of this moves to the background and some of this becomes far less interesting, right? If the Patriots can get the right person, then maybe some of these former players will feel like it was worth it, except a lot of these guys play with Jerod. And so that makes it a personal tie. And it definitely is a blemish on the mark of Bob Kraft, just the way that this whole thing was handled. It definitely was ugly. And I don't know if Bounty paper towels can fix it. 855-212-4227. Before I forget, though, well, not forget, I wasn't going to forget. Before I move on and take our phone call here, Max Crosby. So he's another one who's kind of talking about publicly about a different messy situation, and that's the Raiders and where they go after firing Pierce.
Obviously, we're not close right now. We're 4-13. That's not even close to what it should be and what the standard is. We lost, you know, four more games than we did last year.
Ouch.
We have great pieces. We do. You know, we have good, really good players on this team. No, we're not a complete roster at the moment. We know that. And we need to build and continue building this thing. That's the harsh, you know, reality. But at the end of the day, if you have the right people and the right culture and the right people, you know, the right mindset across the board when it comes to I will do anything it takes to win type attitude, those type of people around, you could turn around fast.
Well, that certainly applies to Tom Brady, right? And obviously applied to Bill Belichick as well. That's Max Crosby on Let's Go on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And I mean, I believe what he says, and he sounds confident. But man, when he puts it that way, we had four fewer wins than a year ago when Josh McDaniels was in charge for part of the season. And then that whole mess where Antonio Pierce got promoted. Are you kidding? That really underscores how bad it was this year. And I know they haven't had a quarterback. That's part of the issue. But they needed a different direction, different leadership. Josh is in Richmond. Josh, welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, Amy, love your show. You always do a great job.
Thank you.
As a 49ers fan, yes, we're going to play Brock Purdy. But just like you and your co-host have said about buying a car, he always says, he always goes to that dude and gets a car because he knows him. He knows what he wants and everything like that. There's no hassle, you know what I'm saying? He just see it and stuff. That's the same thing the 49ers are going to do with Brock. They're like, well, we give you all this and everything, and we love you too. So we want to be at the $33 to $38 million a year so we can get pieces around you and stuff. We want you to do what Tom Brady did. But Brock is looking at it like, well, you got rid of Trey Lance, who was your first pick, and look where he's at. He's the third quarterback in Dallas. Jimmy G, who was there, who got hurt too, he's the backup. And with the Rams, I was the third pick. I was Mr. Irrelevant, and I took you to a Super Bowl. Yes, I was one play away from winning it. I want to start at $40 million a year.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Agree with that, Josh. Yeah. I mean, they can maybe ask him. Thank you so much for your phone call in Richmond, Josh. Happy New Year to you. They can maybe ask him to take a slight discount. And as he points out, the Tom Brady model, which for most of his career, I mean, for all of his career, he was never the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But for most of his career, he took major discounts. Patrick Mahomes has done the same thing to allow the Chiefs flexibility. But still, you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy between $40 and $50 at least. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.